Chapter 26. Enter the Labyrinth. Go forwards, ever forwards, and always down, never left, never right. From the dramatic play Theseon and the Minotaur. Ferris was already watching me when I rose again from death. I think he was smirking, though he always smirked now with that permanent rictus grin of his. I clenched my fists and fought down the urge to strike the apparition. "Amuses you, does it, brother?" I spat. "To see me like this? Am I weak, then? Not as weak as you. Idiot! Fulgrim played you like a twisted harp." I paused and heard my own heavy breathing, the anger growing within. The abyss, red and black, throbbing with hate, pulsed at the edge of my sight. "No answer?" I challenged. "Hard to chide without a tongue, brother." I stood up, unshackled for once, and advanced on the wordless spectre. If I could have, I believe I would have wrapped my hands around his throat and choked him, as I had almost done to Korax in my mind. I sagged, gasping, fighting down the thunderous beating of my heart. Feverish sweat lathered my skin, which glistened in the flickering torchlight. Another dank chamber, another black-walled cell. Kurz had many of them aboard his ship, it seemed. "Throne of Earth," I gasped, collapsing to one knee, my head bowed so I could breathe. "Father," I remembered the words, such a distant memory now. He had spoken them to me on Ibsen. After my legion and I had destroyed the world, turned it into a place of death, I renamed it Caldera. It was to be another adopted world, like Nocturne, and with it the salamanders would be reforged. That dream ended with the end of the Great Crusade and the beginning of the war. "It pains me, but I will have to leave you all when you need me the most. I'll try to watch over you when I can." "I need you now, Father," I said to the dark, "more than ever." Ferris, clicking his skeletal jaw, made me look up. His hollow gaze met my own, and he nodded to the shadows ahead of us, where a vast, ornate gateway had begun to appear. It was taller than the leg of an Imperator Titan, and twice as wide. I could not fathom why I hadn't noticed it before. "Another illusion?" I asked, calling out to the shadows I knew were listening. The immense gate appeared to be fashioned of bronze, though I could tell by looking at it that the metal was an alloy. I saw the vague bluish tint of osmium, traces of silvery white palladium and iridium. It was dense and incredibly strong. The bronze was merely an aesthetic veneer designed to make it look archaic. A blend of intricate intaglio and detailed embossing wrought upon the gate described a raft of imagery. It was a battle scene which appeared to represent a conflict of some elder age. Warriors wielded swords and were clad in hauberks of chain and leather jerkins. Catapults and ballista flung crude missiles into the air. Fires raged. But as I looked closer, I began to see the familiar and realized what my iron brother had done. Three armies fought desperately in a narrow gorge, their enemies arrayed on either side, loosing arrows and charging down at them with swords and spears. On a spur of rock, a warlord carrying a serpent banner held the head of a defeated enemy aloft in triumph. "It's Istvan V, isn't it?"
"Yes," said
Kurz, suddenly standing alongside me, where I realized he had been all along.
"And it is not an illusion, Vulcan. Our brother labored long over this piece. I think it would offend him to know you thought you had conjured it in your mind."
He almost sounded defeated. "What's wrong, Conrad? You sound tired." He sighed, full of regret.
We near the end, he said and gestured to the gate. This is the entrance to the Iron Labyrinth. I had Perturabo make it for me. At its heart, a prize.
Kurz opened his hand, and within it was projected a rotating hololith of my hammer, Dawnbringer. Surrounding it and hanging from chains were my sons. The projection was weak and grainy, but I managed to recognize Nemator from earlier. I am ashamed to admit with the other I couldn't tell, but I could see that both were severely injured. Kurz closed his fist, crushing the image of my stricken sons.
I've bled them thoroughly, brother. They have only days to live.
I saw the blackness crowding at the edge of my vision again, and heard the throbbing of my heart in my skull. I felt the heat of the abyss on my face, saw it bathe my skin in visceral red. With sheer effort of will, I relaxed my gritted teeth. Kurz was watching me.
What do you see, Vulcan? He asked. What do you see when you stray into the darkness? I would have you tell me.
He almost sounded desperate, pleading. Nothing, I lied. There is nothing. You were gone for a while this time, weren't you? Kurz didn't answer, but his eyes were penetrating. I remember some of it. I remember what you tried to get me to do, I told him. Did I disappoint you, brother, by rising above your petty game? Is it lonely in the shadows? Are you in need of some company?
Shut up, he muttered.
It must burn you to know I beat your moral test. I resisted the urge to kill Corvus. I don't claim to be noble, but I know I am everything you are not.
Liar, he hissed.
Even though you have me at your mercy, you still cannot manage to drag me down. You can't even kill me. Kurz looked like he was about to lash out, but reined his anger in and became disturbingly calm.
You're not special, he said. You were just convenient.
He smiled thinly and walked around behind me so I couldn't see him.
I have enjoyed our game, so much so that when it's over, I will go after another of my brothers. And those I cannot kill, I shall break.
I turned to confront him, to warn him off, but Kurz was already gone. He had melted away into the darkness. The gate yawned open, silently beckoning.
I will break them, Vulcan,
Kurz's disembodied voice declared,
just as I am breaking you, piece by fragile piece. And if you're wondering if there are any monsters in the labyrinth, I can tell you yes, but only one.
With Kurz gone, I had little choice but to enter the Iron Labyrinth.